I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. It's unusual because I don't know what to do with having Jace right here on my right hand. Jace is on the road. We've sent him out to get some stories. Jace, can you hear us from wherever you... Tell us where you are.
Oh, I can hear you. I'm in Virginia. I'm on a river that is absolutely stunning. It's on the other side where I'm looking.
Clear water or muddy
water? I would
water?
Tell you... Oh, no, it's clear. It looks awesome. I would tell you the name of it, but I haven't figured out how to pronounce it yet. It starts with an M. I'm in Virginia. We'll start filming here as soon as we end this. I got all these tech nerds looking around from the TV show. They got me set up here.
They're all just off camera, right, waiting for something to go wrong.
Yeah.
Tech nerds, is that a term, is that an endearment term?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love these guys. I mean, look, they may be weird, but when you need one, they're handy.
Yeah. If you go, one of us goes on the road, you got to have a tech nerd somewhere.
I've never met an individual who was deep into the virtual world and I've never met one that was normal. All of them are weird. That little black box will make you be weird.
And this comes from the man who's the picture of normalcy, right?
That's it. So normal, it seems I'm abnormal.
That's right.
See what I'm, you see what I'm saying?
I know in your mind that's the way you say it.
Normalcy is a scarce thing. And when you see it, it scares you. You're not used to it.
That's true. You do have a look about you, Dad. So we also got Zach from North Carolina. Zach, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah. So I had you cut out on the last overtime segment.
Oh, boy.
We've sent technicians. Speaking of technicians, Jace, the nerd crowd, there's another group of individuals who drive around and pick up trucks, and they got like a barrel of deadly poison in the back of their truck. And they go around, and it's for wasp. This is a scattergun for wasp. Do not shoot in your face or your eyes. That makes sense. But this is a wasp killer. The bug man came down yesterday after the episode, and Al fight with the wasp. And he looked in the back, and in that wall there, he said, he'd never seen anything like it. It was just big purple tail wasps with hundreds of wasps on it. Then right beneath that, yellow jackets, then another. It was just solid wasps, that whole wall. And it was a little crack. And they were coming from the outside, getting in the lights, getting above us, then getting on us. Yeah. And I suffered the had to get the technicians.
I suffered the blow. So just to remind,
kill them all.
Just to remind the audience, so the last two podcasts, we were dealing with wasps. And we said, everybody's heads on a swivel. We're trying to, we're just trying to do some good here, read the Bible, share some good news. And then we're into overtime, Zach. You had to leave. So we're in our overtime segment, which is another reason why you want to have overtime, because it was epic. I was attacked by a wasp and stung right on the fleshy part of the neck, the nice tender part that you don't want to get any kind of injury there.
Is it possible that these wasps were agents of wrath?
Well, they were yesterday.
Well, now you got to see the segment, but so we're watching the segment back a few minutes ago. And,
yeah, right before we came home.
Yeah, and it's just, Phil instantly turned the experience of Al being stung by a wasp into a hellfire and brimstone sermon, and it just kept coming. I mean, it was just like scripture after scripture. I was like, that was an incredible pivot. I mean, that really was.
What was so funny about it was I was living it in real time, but watching it again, I didn't even realize Dad was talking, And listen, it was a pretty good sermon, Dad, about the sting of sin is death and the agents of wrath.
He had the frogs thrown at the king. He had the grasshoppers, which we're getting into what we got into yesterday. Yep. I mean, the king had to fight the greatest grasshoppers, and you know, we're in walled. All these years later, we got walls just zeroing in. They hurt when they sting.
Yeah, they hurt.
What were you thinking, Jace? I was going to say that a podcast is a conversation. We're having a conversation about Jesus and the Bible, and then all of a sudden it turned into an attack, a lot of pain, revenge, counterattack. Right. Because I thought, well, one thing's for sure, that waltz has got to die.
Agreed.
I mean, there's a lesson must be taught here. And so I went out because of my brother's pain and sought revenge. So it turned into a little mini series on when Wasp attacked.
And it's all recorded. That's the best part about it. We got the whole thing. You know, most podcasts out there would probably say let's not show that, but we want here at Unashamed, want you to see the real thing. So we're talking about, should we put this in front of where everybody can see us? So the goal will be that to make this as widely available as possible so that you can see and experience Al's pain.
It's must-see TV.
I mean, there's all kinds of critters down in here where we live. I mean, we have coral snakes, one of the most dangerous snakes there is on the planet.
True.
Cottonmouth moskins, rattlesnakes.
Brown recluse spiders.
Yeah.
Black widows.
What's the other one that crawled around in our yard? Another
copperhead.
Copperhead. And then then you get to the brown recluse, and it just works its way up. The things that can hurt you, ground yellow jackets. But these were just like wasps of all two or three different species of wasp. They've been after us for about, how long? We've been swatting them for a while.
Well, a year probably off and on.
It came to a climax there yesterday with that stinger. It was embedded in your neck.
My theory is that as it's getting cooler, we got a lot of lights in here. So they were drawn to this heat and light. And so it was bringing them out. But I always thought there was just a one nest in there. I didn't realize we had like a...
When the stinging started, I was watching you swatting and trying to get them off of you. But I did notice that in your eyes, there was fear or dread or something.
Well, it's panic is what it is, because you're trying to, you got something after you. And so the instincts take over. Like I was moving so fast. So they had to slow it down just to see what all happened. The camera guys to tell me. So,
well, what's interesting is we started off reading about this guy who had an evil spirit. And his son, you know, he was going into convulsions and he was foaming at the mouth.
Foaming at the mouth.
He had been thrown into the fire and water. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the episode, you went into a convulsion. And once you got stung, I thought, if foam starts coming out of his mouth, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Well, you bring up an interesting point, Jace, because like it's been a few years since I got zapped. And you wonder, do you develop, you know, I've never known to have been allergic, but then again, I got a lot of allergies. So I thought, you're right. What if the tongue gets thick, you start seizing up? I mean, who knows what could happen?
Yeah. A wasp sting to the neck, that's painful.
Yeah. Oh, it hurt.
Oh, yeah. It made me think on the way home, I thought, I mean, did that guy really have an evil spirit, or was he allergic to wasps? Because, you know, I've seen people jump out of deer stands before because they were going to get stung by wasp. I mean, but it's
better just to go
ahead and take it.
What's so amazing is, to Dad's sermon, now that I've heard it again, you know, a wasp is such a little thing.
Oh, yeah.
But he packs a wallop.
He really does.
I mean, that stinger, he's got something going on. I mean, the Almighty gave him quite the defense mechanism. But they were in full attack mode. We're just sitting here talking about the Bible. I was actually into a really good point in Romans 3 and was in the process of reading, explaining this, what we were talking about here. So this little tiny creature wreaked havoc.
I don't think you ever finished your point.
Well, I sort of did, but then I was, like you said, as I got into wrath mode myself. You killed the one, which I appreciate that. My little brother sticking up for he killed that one.
I feel like Yeah, but Phil brought it. I think he brought it home as you're being stung, and he's preaching over you and prophesying over you as you're being attacked, and he's just speaking the word of God, saturating you in the word of God. I thought, what a loving father!
Plus, when
what
wasps
a loving are, father
when wasps are attacking in stinging mode, whether it be ground, you know, these ground bumblebees, they live in the ground. They just, a horde of them comes out. If you run over with a tractor, or just walk over them.
Yeah, they're like hornets.
They're coming out of the ground. Yeah. And I mean, it really hurts.
Well, you know, Dan sent me because Dan came in, because Dan watched us, said, Dan, you got to get somebody down here. We got a problem now. I mean, we're getting stung, you know, we've got a problem. So he got the guy down, like you said. They've killed everything. My head's still on a swivel, but I don't see anything. But Dan sent me a note, Dan said, I feel your pain because of bumblebee. So what happened? Tell that story.
Oh, I just looked out there, and I thought he was showing out to me. I was looking at him from about 100 yards away, and I saw him running just like you did, but he was running. And look, I couldn't see all the ground yellow jackets, but they were after him. So he was being stung repeatedly, and he was just swatting. Well, when I first saw it, I thought he was just showing out, going to show me some kind of hula dance, because he was jumping and waving his arms. I thought, that old Dan, he got a personality. But then I got to notice
he got a personality.
I said, you know, he may be in a bind. So I pulled over there and hollered, and he ran another 100 yards. I said, Dan, what you got? He said, he's ground yellow jackets. He's ground yellow jacket or stung me all over. Oh, he had like a lot of sting.
Mm.
You know, sometimes, you know, you can get stung enough.
Well, the problem is with Dan.
I thought it was a joke, but when I saw what was going on, I said, good.
Now, Dan has a lot of exposure, too, because he likes wearing the shirts with no sleeves, and then he never wears a hat. So there's a lot of white.
When
target.
We clean out our duck blinds every year and get rid of the wasp, They're a major player, because we're fixing to brush the duck blind after it's been sitting there for months. You know, and the backwater come up, that's perfect for wasps. They're on a floating duck blind, and all in the corners, you know, they're big wasp nests.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to go through there, get all that before you try to brush it, because you get them stirred up, and they'll run you to the next pasture.
The last time
Si famously tells the story that, you know, the reason he has no rear end at this stage of his life is because him and Phil were crossing a fence, and there was a wasp nest there. And as Si bolted, a piece of the barbed wire ripped his pants right in the center. Now
he
it was
his
revealing
pants when he started running.
Yeah,
and his underwear were white,
which was white. Yeah,
and I was a little faster than he was, so I'm running. He's behind me, but the bumblebees, they're ground bumblebees, they were just going after that white, and his buttocks had 27, because my mama counted them. He got back, his tail was twice as big as it usually was, and my mama got in there, and she said, what? She, I don't know what she got, vinegar or something. They had some kind of, you know. She said, you've got just his tail was just, I mean, just about 25 or 30 different places where they stung him. Oh, it was painful on his part. He was hollering, but I was just running ahead of him. And he was slow, so they were hitting him. They were right running us. Woo.
So much,
I remember
so much
it like
no
it was yesterday,
behind.
But we were about 15 years old, so it was rough.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Just to our audience, just to let you know, some places where you live, you know, there's a lot of poisonous snakes, and there's a lot of spiders and various species of wall. We have them all down in Louisiana. So,
well, once again, I'm thinking that the Unashamed podcast is unique. I don't know how many hosts of podcasts have been stung by a wasp on set while recording, but it happened here yesterday. So we're figuring out the best way to show that to you guys. So be on the lookout for that. It was pretty interesting. Let's take a break. So, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about pro-life. And of course, Lisa and I basically dedicated most of our ministry that we do around the country to the pro-life cause. Most of our speeches support pregnancy centers or right-to-life groups. And so we've met a lot of the major players in the pro-life movement. There's some amazing servants and dedicated people that are just giving everything for the movement. And we love that. One of the groups that we've met along the way that also sponsors our podcast is 40 Days for Life. And we've had Sean, who's their CEO. He's been on our podcast before. Tremendous man, tremendous group. They've really just dedicated everything to being able to save babies and to help women make better choices. So they've got over 1 million volunteers in 1,000 cities. They hold peaceful vigils where they pray outside abortion facilities, mainly just for good decisions, not this attack mode. The idea is we want to pray for God's will to work. And so they're having some major advances in some of the blue states that they're still having a lot of abortion. So we love these guys and want to support them. Check out their locations. In case you want to volunteer, be a part of what they're doing. They have a great podcast. They have a free magazine at 40daysforlife.com that's going to keep you updated on the pro-life movement and really showing how we're winning some hearts and minds in post-Roe America, because the work really is just beginning, because we've got a lot of people, abortion-minded people that need help. So go to 40daysforlife.com and check them out.
I feel like we need we need to put the call out. We need a sponsor, an anchor sponsor that can provide the best pest control on the planet.
Yep.
Like we need to figure out who is that, and that company needs to contact us, and we need to work a deal. If you can get rid of the pest,
just that are in the lair right here in
just in the lair.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we're not going out in the land. We're not going out anywhere. We're just saying, just in this one area, if we can find the right partnership.
Complete protection with your
product. Complete protection. I feel like we would be able to sell that. And I think the Unashamed Nation would get behind whatever company has, whoever has the technology that can protect the Unashamed podcast. I think there needs to be.
That's got his marketing hat on now. He's already he's working it. So yep. I see his mind turning as he goes. That's exactly right. Well, we're in the book of Mark. I was so rudely interrupted yesterday by the wasp. We were finishing up Mark chapter 9.
By the way, is there any kind of treatment that you use? Because a lot of people,
you know,
put a little snuff on it sometimes.
That's what I did yesterday. So our engineer over here, I didn't realize he was a snuff dipper, but I'm glad he was, because I went over and rubbed some on that sting, and it immediately took the worst of the bite out of it. It
was, well, there you go.
It was throbbing a little bit, but it does work. It worked for me yesterday.
Most of the time, that was the treatment around out here. Somebody gets stung, you put a little tobacco on it, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, because every time I'd been stung before, I was dipping or chewing myself when I was younger, but I hadn't dipped or chewed in a few years. But I was glad to have some on set. That was nice. Good work, engineer. Saved me some.
Well, based on what I read on those two miracles, you should have had him spit the snuff on the sting and see how that worked.
That probably would have been better, but it's just
how you were moving so fast, your limbs. Everything on you was moving. I mean, you were just like dead, just like, I mean.
Was I like a man beating the air?
I don't know what the audience thought when they first saw it. Said,
nobody said
that whole bunch about half nuts. But, you know, throw a wasp in their midst and you'll see them run too.
You just got hit one time? Was it just one lick?
I thought I got stung twice, but I only found one welt today. So I guess it was just the once. It felt like yesterday he got me twice. But I'm interested to see is that I wonder where he came out. I think he went all the way down and came out the bottom of my shirt.
I noticed you were trying
I saw that. Yeah.
I was trying to crush him.
He came out from the bottom.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. But, yeah.
Somebody said Dan put where the wasp came in, that they put, you guys fixed that, right, with the universal fix, with duct tape, right?
Gorilla tape, yeah.
Duct tape, that's what he went with. But if somebody out there in bug land can keep a place safe from wasps, brown recluses, and first one thing another, if they had some kind of they need to send us some money, and we will allow them to make money, and we'll show them what happens without it.
Oh, boy. Well, it's funny because we're profiting
off of my this is worse than Job's friend.
I feel like we're joking about this. Like one of our producers just sent me a text. Like, seriously, she said, seriously, we need we need to get someone to sponsor us. And I was like, I wasn't kidding. Like, I know we're joking, but seriously, like, if you know, like, I mean, what better relationship to get into if you could, we could sell something that we fully believe in. We've experienced the pain. Al, you would be, I think this is maybe your calling right
now.
I'm
starting to feel like Job. This is like Zophar and Bildad, you know? I mean, my calamity is immediately be turned into a profiteering for the masses.
Well, and the thing is, it would never run out because this has been a consistent problem since we've started this podcast. Will we all agree to that? I mean, it may have been the first all-out attack.
If you had a small little limb right now for the next 3 or 4 days, just a little bitty switch, and if you eased in behind Al and just barely touched him on the neck with just a little limb, you wouldn't believe how he would react. He would come out of that chair like, wait a minute. I mean, he, once you get dope popped, boy, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. You're right. My head's on a swivel today. I'm glad you brought this all down here.
Al brought up a good point, though. When somebody has something happen to them, it's like Job and his friends, you all try to assess where it all went wrong. Because Phil's first response was, if you had a longer beard, that wouldn't happen to you. I mean, how do you even think of
beard trimmer?
Yeah. You've got about two or three inches of whiskers to go through here.
Yeah.
But it needs to be long to protect your chest area.
Well, yesterday, it's funny because the reason Dad said that is we were chasing one yesterday, and Jay started every time in between we were trying to record.
Yeah, one was in my whiskers.
He landed in Dad's whiskers, and so I was about to swat him in the whiskers, and the thing took off. But Jace would just clear out. At first, he kind of fought with us the first segment, and then after that, every break, I'd look up, he was gone. He just left Dad and I.
What y'all need to do is you got to take where the duct tape was at. You got to get in there with some spray foam. That's another sponsor. We need you get in there with spray foam. You put your little, it's got a little straw. You stick it in that hole, and it just fills it up.
Yeah,
they're not getting in. You got to find the cracks and the crevices, and you got to find the area of entry.
Some of these people that are on top, some of these products, you know, just now's the time to move. We're paying if you can come too.
Jay's what happened. This thing has just turned into e-commerce.
It's an infomercial.
I'm telling you, this is what happens when you go from narrative to action adventure.
Well, it happened in a flash yesterday because there was some serious action. So
I think the audience can tell you weren't joking.
Oh, no. It was real. I can tell you that. I'm no actor. I would hate to have to act that one out. Because that was all instinct. All right, let's get back to Mark. This is enough frivolity at my expense. But in the book of Mark yesterday, I mean the last two podcasts, we were talking about kind of closing out this concept with the evil spirit that we're talking about. And then there's kind of this, I don't know, like misunderstanding consistently of the disciples. So Jesus is trying to get them to this point. So he closes out, was the last thing we talked about yesterday. He closed out this section. He still had the child that was there with him. And so he was using that illustration to say, you don't want to cause this child to sin. And then he goes into your own sinfulness and kind of how you enter into this kingdom life that we talked about. And he used some very graphic illustrations to show that. And then, Jace, you talked about that idea of saltiness at the end of the segment. Which you referred back to the Beatitudes, the idea that we're supposed to impact. And how do you have impact if you lose your saltiness, you know, what good are you going to be to the kingdom? So it was kind of the way to close out that section.
Well, I think he was trying to, for them to get their identity in how they're going to be ambassadors. I mean, later on, we know what happens in that we have the Holy Spirit in us and we're pointing people to the King. And God uses us, it's his power. But that us being salt, you know, I mean, salt is something that you don't think is very important because the main dish is the main dish, which, you know, Jesus is the main dish. But I think he was trying to get them to see the identity and their purpose. And salt, being salty means it's got to be used. We're going forward. We're not just digging a hole and waiting for this all to end. But when you do that, and when we read the passage, the parallel passage in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, he told them that they were going to be blessed. Of course, I think he was using the physical blessings more in a spiritual context about brothers and sisters and homes and family. But he added, and persecution, because I really think that was the thrust at what he was getting at here. This, I'm going away. You're going to have to rely on faith and trust in who I am. And people are not going to like what you have to say. And that's still going on to this day.
That, but it is interesting. He said, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. But if you look at that worldwide and go way back in history, bring it to modern day, that thing about peace with each other, I mean, just look at our culture. We divide up and just devour each other on and on and on. You see what I'm saying?
Well, when you think about it, Dad, it's, let's take a break. I think we can all agree that one of the scourges of all time, but especially in modern era, that Satan has used to destroy so many men and women, but especially men, is pornography. You know, when I was a kid, you know, it shows up, but it's used in some magazine or some other form. Now, of course, with the internet, it's everywhere. And younger and younger boys, mostly, but also girls, unfortunately, are finding it, and it's really scarring them and turning their lives into something they don't want. So we've got a group called Covenant Eyes that has been around for over 22 years, helping people get to a porn-free life. And nobody likes being trapped there and what it does to you. It helps not only you, but also your family, and gives your faith a stronger help without this. So we want you to check them out. You can go try Covenant Eyes free for 30 days. That's a free 30-day trial if you sign up today with the promo code PHIL. So you got nothing to lose but a lot to gain. Here's what you do. You visit coveyes.com/PHIL. That's C-O-V-E-Y-E-S, coveyes.com/PHIL. Check them out, free 30-day trial, and get pornography out of your life. If you think about it, salt is not just for flavor, that's part of it, but salt is also a preserver. You know, throughout all of ancient times up to today, salt preserves. It takes that which would spoil quickly and preserves it going forward. And so to your point, that's exactly what we're talking about here. This is something, the preservation of this mindset and the kingdom life is something that's much broader. And I think that
I think in the middle of all that, and the other thing that stood out to me as we're going through these various miracles and just talking to Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, good teacher, what must I do? That's over in chapter 10. But he says, Jesus said, why do you call me good? And this is a scary statement, but I see it, I mean, as absolute fact, but a lot of people on planet Earth would differ. No one is good except God alone. No one is good but God. He's saying, I'm sin free.
Right.
I am the epitome of good.
Right.
But if you miss that, because you look around and say, well, I know some pretty good people. But when it gets right down to it, that rich young man said, I've done all these things you're talking about. I've done every one of them. He said, well, sell everything you got.
Right.
Follow me. So there you go.
Right. And you talked about peace. I mean, part of that's peace with each other, but part of that's your own peace of mind. And that's recognizing you can't do it.
Yep.
You know, on your own. He starts.
Well, I want to say this.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, that part where he says, you'll be salted with fire. And when you read another parallel passage, you know, like 1 Corinthians 3, when verse 5, where it says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. That's why I was using that reference, as in our purpose, salt being salty. When you read Matthew 5:13-16, But it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they'll each be rewarded. For we are co-workers in God's service. We're God's field, God's building. And by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, because we know the foundation is Jesus, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, here's the point I want to make. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown what it is, because the day will bring it to the light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, the builder will receive reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. So you see my point. That's why I thought of that identity and purpose, because it's like he's trying to train them not only on what God is like and his character, but he's going away. He knows the plan that he's going to die and be buried and raised, and they're seeing all this. But he also knows that once the Spirit is poured out, they'll have the Holy Spirit. They're going to go through all this as God's co-workers. And the persecutions are going to come, and these hardships are going to, they're going to test your work. I mean, it's going to test you to the max, even where ultimately they all gave their life in service to the work of Christ.
No, I agree, Jason. And which is interesting you brought that up, because remember we were talking about this section, and he kept talking about into the kingdom of God. And we've talked about this a lot when studying this book. Is that talking about kingdom here? Is that talking about heaven? Because, you know, he has a reference of hell. So the kind of the assumption is this is all afterlife type things. But when you think about it, there's a lot of context for this life, which is what you're describing. And it's interesting that he took that out of the context where he said, the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched, meaning an ongoing fire. And then he comes right back and says, everyone will be salted with fire. To your point, I think what he's saying is that you're going to face difficulty because of sin. Because remember, this context of this section is talking about sin. So sin is still prevalent. So you're going to have things that's going to happen that you have to deal with. It may not even be your sin. It may be someone else's sin. But there's going to be fire that's going to come your way and test you. The question is, will you preserve? And that's kind of this concept, I think, of the saltiness. Will you preserve during this time of testing and fire and the things that happen to you? So I think that's what he means.
Because when you think about for salt to lose its saltiness, I mean, you think about, like, how does that even happen? And I'm not a scientist, but I know one way that it can lose its saltiness is if you water it down, you know, and dilute it. And so I think there's this idea that's what or you change this composition to something that it's not anymore, and you're not who you were. And I think that's the temptation whenever you're under trial of any capacity, when you're under a trial or a tribulation, whether it be your own sin, whether it be persecution coming at you, whatever it is, the temptation is to compromise. The temptation is to water it down, to dilute it, to like, oh well, to compromise and make it something that's not. And I think that's the point that Jesus is getting at here. Like, you have to, like, to be in the kingdom is to remain in the vine, is to remain connected, you know, to in the vine to Jesus. I mean, it's to be in his presence. It's actually it's a transformation that increases over time. It doesn't decrease. You know, but when the Bible talks about predestination, it talks about us being predestined to be conformed into the image of the Son. So that's what believers are ultimately moving toward is being conformed into the image of the Son. So that's saltiness. The opposite of that would be to fade away, to compromise, to move away from being conformed into his image. And I think that's the idea of what's happening here. Don't water yourself down.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No, I agree. And I think that when he gets to chapter 10, we have another sort of pivot In terms of what, you know, what he's been teaching up until the last couple of chapters, it's been stories about the disciples kind of missing the point and him continuing to have to just, you know, tell them over and over and over again. Now we're going to re-enter the Pharisees back into the mix here, as well as a young man that Dad's already referenced. And I think in this next section, the chapter 10, is sort of the idea. Now he's going to bring this idea that somehow law can save you back into play. I mean, that this is what kind of these next couple of stories we're going to be dealing with. I want to read this first section because this is a much debated, much maligned in some cases, a section of scripture that leads to a much larger discussion, even in modern day churches and, you know, different scenarios. So I want to read this, these first.
Before you read it out, I just wanted to make one last comment about the salt thing. You know, another verse that popped in my head, because we're fixing to get into this argument about the law, but is Colossians 4. I mean, it's the same context. In verse 3, you know, Paul said, pray that that God may open a door for our message so that we can proclaim the mystery of Christ. Mm-hmm. And verse 5, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of opportunity, every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone, which goes back to my point. I think he was talking about purpose, but that salt used as seasoning, you think, well, we preach grace, but there is an underlying principle out there that judgment day is coming, and there's a real hell, and fire will reveal what's important. You know, I've said that before in my life. Anything that can be burned up was probably not real important. Because at the end of the day, you know, God is changing us from the inside out. And because we have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, ultimately, the final, any kind of fire would not be able to harm us, you know. But I just think it's interesting when you look at that, that he doesn't want us to be, I think Zach said watering down, but he doesn't want us to
be lukewarm.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to be scared to be bold for Jesus. Dude, I mean, God has called us to move forward. That's why, you know, in the last podcast, I said he's our shield around us. You don't need a shield if you're not going into battle. If you're just, you know, who was that said, I think it was, am I actually fixing to try to quote Roseanne Barr off the top of my head? I think I am.
Let's go for it. Let's go for it.
I think she said, let me look this up so I get this right.
We're going to have to take a break on that one, so we'll see on the other side. Well, I know that we're all super excited, probably Jason Missy the most, because they've become really good friends with the Chosen folks, Dallas Jenkins and all their crew. Season 3 is coming, and we're super excited about that. And the Chosen Season 3 begins in theaters on November 18th, which is super exciting. The theme is called Come to Me, All You Who Are Weary and Heavy Burdened, and I Will Give You Rest. That's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It's going to pick up right where Season 2 left off. But the way they put it is that we're turning up the heat. And, you know, if you studied in Matthew, you know, it's starting to come down to it. There's a lot of enemies of Jesus, a lot of trouble, a lot of tension. And in all this upheaval, Jesus is going to talk about giving us rest. So you're going to love it. Episodes 1 and 2 will begin in theaters on November 18th. And episodes will start releasing for free in the Chosen app before Christmas. So if you want to check it out and you want to get some more information, go to thechosentickets.com. That's thechosentickets.com, and enjoy this fantastic series that's really helping, I think, all people really see who Jesus is and who his followers were.
But that's what makes this good, right? You tease it up. I mean, like, you were in mid-thought. But whatever you're going to say now, Jace, it's going to carry 10 times the weight just because we've built
just
it.
Just because
up
it's Roseanne Barr.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I found the quote.
Oh, boy.
I found the quote. So, look, I don't know why this popped in my head.
Jace, you should lead with this. Jace, you should lead. The great theologian Roseanne Barr says.
All right, well, hang on. I'm going to say this. If you are a son or daughter of the Almighty, a child of the King, in the full armor of God on this earth, you never want to be like the great philosopher and theologian Roseanne Barr, who once said, "I'm so amazing, and if I ever get off this couch, I'll be unstoppable."
That's actually a pretty good quote right there.
Yeah.
I don't know why that popped. I hadn't heard that quote in 20 years, but I remember seeing that somewhere, and I thought,
"You talking about plucking out of thin air? That was pretty impressive." But to Roseanne, to the great theologian Roseanne's point, you know, what you're talking about, Jace, is urgency. There's an urgency when it comes to the gospel and salvation, and sort of the ultimate doom that we know is coming if you don't get this right. So out of that urgency, of course, we should be seizing. I mean, is that not what this podcast is all about? You know,
the hard part getting off the couch.
Well, right. Exactly. And the reason I'm making such a big deal about this identity and purpose is because I think here you have in Mark 10, you have a distraction and an argument brought about by religious leaders to Jesus. I mean, Jesus came here not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom of many. He's been on a mission. He's working tirelessly. I mean, all hours of the night. He's training the ones that are going to follow him. He's doing all this. And so we're supposed to be doing the same thing. But how many times are we distracted by these arguments over religious things that don't mean a hill of beans or misunderstood? And which is really what this is, what's fixed to happen here. And look, not only that, the disciples themselves are having all these arguments about who's the greatest and who's going to sit on the right hand and the left. And it just, we just can't help it. We want to sit around in chairs and talk about, you know, where it all went wrong and while there's work to do. And I think he makes it clear, we're the salt of the earth, be salty, which means get off the couch and go out there.
Which I think a lot of these tertiary issues that we fight about that aren't primary to the gospel, those are luxuries that we can afford when we're not being persecuted. And when you know, you think about, I think, what was the guy's name? Richard Wurmbrand. I think that was his name, the Voice of the Martyrs book they sent out, Tortured for Christ. I remember reading that in college, and it's been a while since I read it, but this guy was being persecuted. He's part of the underground church in Russia where there were 20 million people killed. I don't know how many, a lot of them were Christians. I mean, we're talking about just an assault on the church. And one of the things he said in the book was how just shocked he was when he was able to experience Western Christianity for the first time. I was just shocked at the things that you guys fight over. He said, you know, we had bits and pieces of the book of Mark. You know, we'd have a page of Mark and we would circulate it around. We didn't have the whole Bible. So we just had pieces of the Bible. And he said, we had the story of Jesus that we held on to. And he's like, man, when you're like being persecuted like that, it's just funny how brothers, like those issues, we're not talking about that stuff. And I just thought, man, how convicting for someone in the underground church to come and tell us that, because not that these theological things they do, doctrine matters, all that matters, we're not saying that, but man, we hunker down on this stuff and we'll get so twisted up in the weeds on eschatology, you know, or whatever it is that we're battling these things out. I'm like, man, can you imagine though, if you were in an underground church like in Russia or China right now or the Middle East, and you're literally, you cannot publicly profess your faith and you're hiding out in homes and things like that. Like when you find someone that says they believe in Jesus, you're just like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like an instant bond, instant family, instant loyalty. And I think that's important for us to think about as pointing. That's the essence of that spirit, is the essence of true saltiness. That's what it would look like. And like,
well,
in the
you
got to
remember, in lieu of all of this, And when we mention law, you said, I'm no other gods before me. Don't make bow down to idols. In other words, don't misuse my name. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father. And now just listen to these principles, laws. Honor your father and mother. There's no argument with that. It is a great thing. The one who wrote it is saying, that's who's good, the one that does that. They shall not murder. Well, good grief. I mean, we know good and well that is a great principle, a law. Don't commit adultery. There's a downside, the diseases and all of that, and the broken homes.
Hang on, let's take our last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Don't steal, don't lie, and don't covet. Well, if you look at all those laws, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the law, but it does prove to us that there's a lot wrong with us, every last one of us. And I think Jesus is making the point there that it's not the law. I've solved a problem, and I can save you by grace, because if I leave you just you and the law is not the problem. We're the problem. I just think
I was going to say before Al reads this that you just don't, it doesn't say this, but though you can tell the Pharisees are not really concerned with making the world full of happy marriages and how we can influence society. Coming from that spirit, even though. Even today, the stats bear out that people who are married for longer than 5 years have way less a chance of getting divorced, and they have better health, and they have better finances, and their kids they flourish more. I mean, if you go look at the stats, God's design and his way are proven as fact. That it is the best correct. Way to attain
his law.
Existence. Yeah,
that's right.
His law is not it's not oppressive. There's a verse in the psalmist says this in Psalm 16, verse 6, that the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I thought, wow, how often do we want to get rid of the boundary lines because we think that that's limiting our freedom. But I love how the psalmist says it. He says the boundary lines are too strict. And we don't really, but this is what the psalmist got, right? The boundary lines to my life, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. These boundaries that God has put in our lives, these are for our flourishment, not to steal and rob us of any type of joy or happiness. That was the original sin in the Garden of Eden. That was the temptation that Satan laid out, was that God doesn't want what's best for you. He knows that if you eat this fruit, so he's put this boundary here around this one tree. That's a boundary line. Well, you know why he put that there. And they're like, why? He's like, because he doesn't want you to be like him. I mean, Satan just put that, he sowed that's the seed of distrust that Satan always sows in our hearts. And when we sin, it's because we're buying into that. And somehow we're believing that God is holding out on us. And that is not the God that created us. God withholds no good things for us. I think that's also in Psalm 16 that right here. I say to you, Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. God does not hold anything good from his creatures, nothing. He is lavishing life on us. And I think that's the road, by the way, to sanctification and progressive healing in Christ is understanding that.
And I do think that's the lead in to this text. That's exactly, we've already touched on what his point is. But let me read it. That way we can talk about the end here and then also a little bit in overtime. It's verse 1, Mark 10. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. So from a, remember, this is, Mark does a lot of his book through geography. So now we're heading down towards Jerusalem. So now we're going to get into more of the establishment that's going on. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Now we're going to see more Pharisees because he's in their region. Verse 2, some Pharisees came and tested him. And we're going to get this a lot the rest of the way by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?
Yep.
There's the question. And Jay said, it's really not from a good-hearted place that they're asking. Jesus says in verse 3, what did Moses command you? He replied, they said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And we'll talk more about that, what that means. Verse 5, it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, he's going to go all the way back to Genesis 2.
Yep.
God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.
And look how we've butchered something that's very plain.
Very simple.
He made, in the beginning, a male and a female. There is a difference.
Yep.
But look at what they're doing now.
It's insane.
To that text.
So let me read the last couple. And so when they, verse 10, when they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. Here they are, the tail wagging the dog again. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. So he gives them a little more insight into what goes on here by what they were distorting from the very beginning. So what's your initial thoughts? We got a couple of minutes here before we wrap up the
podcast. I was going to say, you know, they asked him a question based on Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And you can read that. I think you should read it because I think that's what they were basing their trap on, which basically just says if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. And if she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house, or if he does. Then her husband, who divorced her, is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. Y'all got all that? That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is because they're trying to build a trap based on something happening because they didn't, two people, a man and a woman, didn't trust God in the marriage. And so then he goes back to what really marriage is, which I think is the awesome point, which is God designed it. He defined it and he gives you the context for it. And so what we pull out of that is that marriage is designed by God, is permanent. It's permanent as in for your whole life. It's exclusive. It's you and, you know, it's one man, one woman for life. It's a covenant. It's an actual contract that produces freedom. It's actually more safe because it's then not based on feeling, you know, how you feel. You're basically making a promise, an oath. And so that's kind of my take on it.
No, and I'm glad you read the Deuteronomy 24 because it shows you there was Moses had a very specific circumstance in mind here with what was going on in terms of marriage and divorce in Israel at this time. that he was making amends to be able to protect both people, but especially the woman, which is a big part of this context. So all that matters, because when you go fast forward to the Pharisees, they just laid out a general question. They didn't deal with the specifics of Deuteronomy 24. They just threw out the big question, what do you think about divorce? And so Jesus brilliantly, as he always does, took them back to the beginning, past what was going on in this situation in Deuteronomy, to the ultimate, which is what you were saying, Dad, is the good. I mean, yep. This is the right way. This was the God way that he laid that out.
And I think that you got to keep in mind, too, like this is a trap. I mean, this questioning is a trap.
Correct.
For Jesus. So his answer, you got to interpret it in that context. And two, you got to think about what is the heart of the Pharisee, particularly at least these Pharisees, and how they were operating inside of kind of this idea of divorce. And it became something that was, they had left the heart of the issue. That's the whole point Jesus is going to get at here.
Correct.
You're looking at this strictly from a legal perspective, and you're thinking, technically, I gave her a certificate of divorce, and now I can go do the thing I want to do, which is maybe marry another woman. And so you got this. He's like, your paradigm is completely off. I mean, that's really what he's saying here. You're trying to trap me, but what in your attempt to trap me, you're actually exposing your legalism.
But even then, his grace would be sufficient. If you came to him and you said, okay, this is my sixth one. This is my eighth woman that I've been married to. So I'm out automatically based on what I read about what he said right here. No, you can repent.
Right.
God can forgive you.
Which we're going to get into that into more in depth. We'll do that some in the overtime and see where we go from there. So we're out of time. If you want to follow us over, it's blazetv.com/unashamed. There's currently a promotion going on. You can get $10 off a subscription if you use the offer code Phil when you do that. So if you want to follow us over for overtime, check it out.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.